patients from getting the drug. Ducey's office denied the claim Monday. A Maricopa County Superior Court judge rejected similar arguments 6 months ago when she said it's not up to her to force the state to lower the costs. The health department collected $24.9 million in all marijuana growing, processing, and selling fees in the last fiscal year. The program's expense was in that period was less than half of that, $11.2 million. It's Buckmaster next on AM 1030. KVOI, The Voice.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program for this Tuesday, November the 14th, 2017. We come to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Got our worldwide live listening. You can hear our program virtually anywhere in the world. If you're by a computer, it's buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts, the complete show archive, available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. Well, the Air Force is planning to recall 1,000 pilots from retirement. This could impact smaller airlines in our country, because there is such competition right now to hire trained crews to fly their planes. We go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jeff Lattice is with us. Jeff is a captain for JetBlue. He's also a highly decorated Air Force fighter pilot. He resides in Oro Valley. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thanks.
So tell me, how big a deal is this? It seems like 1,000 pilots. That's a lot of people being pulled out of retirement. And how can they do that?
Yeah, they can. According to, there was an executive order that was signed about 3 weeks ago or so that allowed the military to recall officers. It wasn't just Air Force officers or pilots, but that is the brunt of what there is a shortage of in the Air Force right now. This isn't something that is totally uncommon, and there have been other times in very recent history that there have been shortages on pilots. The most recent was in 2009, for instance. They also allowed retirees to come back in 2002, I believe it was, and you can keep on going back. Now, currently, just kind of lay the groundwork on what's going on here is that the Air Force, and they just updated their numbers just a couple of days ago, they're about 2,000 pilots short right now. The total number is about 20,000 pilots they need in the Air Force, and they're not, there's plenty of pilots that are separating, usually at about the 10-year point, which is creating this shortfall. And one way that they're trying to fix this is by allowing retirees to come back into active service. Currently, this is purely voluntary. But the executive order actually allows involuntary if it comes down to it.
So what if you're working at a company, well, you say it's voluntary, you're working at one of the airline companies, you're happy with your job, can you basically ignore this this directive, Jeff Lattice?
Currently, it's purely voluntary, and there are also requirements to it. You have to be, I think, and I might be wrong, but I believe it's within 5 years since you retired. You have to be under 60. And currently you have to be a rated pilot. Now, the major shortage actually is fighter pilots. So they're looking for fighter pilots to come back. Now, if there's a pilot out there listening thinking, great, I'm going to go back into active duty and fly my F-16 or whatever, Not so fast, because it's going to be a staff job right now. The training pipeline to requalify a fighter pilot back into a cockpit would exceed the affordability, you might say, of doing something like this.
Well, meanwhile, your industry needs a lot of new pilots. Boeing has estimated, Jeff Lattice, 637,000 new pilots over the next 20 years, 117,000 of those in North America, because you've got the anticipated growth in passengers, you've got retirements. What about your own company? What is JetBlue doing to keep the stream going?
Well, we aren't quite as bad as the American or United or Delta out there, who are going to see a large acceleration in retirements in just the next 5 years. We won't see that until a little after 5 years from now. The best way that you can shortfall this is just to offer more incentives to come into the airlines. The major airlines aren't the ones, and you mentioned this earlier, they're not the ones that are having the biggest problem with this. It's really in the regional or the smaller airline market, the 80 seats and less type of companies. They're having trouble with it, and it's not just because there's a bigger pipeline to the major airlines and the need for pilots there. A lot of military are going that direction. That's the reason why the military has experienced some of these shortfalls. But there were new rule changes that happened about 4 or 5 years ago that has a much stricter requirement on qualification levels of pilots to fly even smaller airplanes.
What is the mandatory retirement age? And is that, there's been some controversy over this.
65 is currently the mandatory retirement age to fly an airliner.
Hmm.
You can still fly charter type flights or business jets, you might say. But when it comes to airline operations, 65 is the limit.
Is that, those are airlines that are licensed to the United States? Because isn't it true some pilots will go overseas where the rule, I believe, is a little more lax?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think there are some countries that allow to go up to 67, as far as I know. But yes, that's a U.S. regulation.
So with these airlines, like you mentioned, that some of the mainstream carriers, mainline carriers like American, United, Delta, you're going to have retirements coming up in the next 5 years. So will they look then to the regionals to fill those positions?
Oh, by all means. And there is a lot of movement through the regionals. Some of the pilots that were in the regionals before the rule changed a few years ago, they're ripe for the picking, and they're going to move on to a bigger airline just because of pay, primarily. The pay more than doubles by going to a larger airline and flying bigger airplanes. So that creates the problem, and the pipeline isn't there to fill those regional carriers. Now, in the last few years, and I'll say over the last 30 years, maybe 20 years, those regional carriers have expanded considerably. They only made up about 15% of the market, I believe, back in 1990. Now it's over half the market is a smaller jet market. So there's been this opportunity to increase the growth for the regional carriers. They can reach out and get into smaller cities more economical, and that was the main reason. But the cost right now is starting to get to a point because you've got to pay your pilots more to have them come to that company, and these regionals just don't pay that kind of amount to get like a retired military pilot to come into their operation.
You live in Oro Valley, but you take flights, I think they call that in your industry, deadhead to your to your location.
Not quite. It's close.
Okay.
It's jump seating.
Okay, jump seating to LAX or wherever you're going. And it's surprising. I see a lot of pilots doing that. There must be a lot of you may not be alone out there from Oro Valley and to Tucson over to the coast.
That's true. I, as a matter of fact, there's one guy that flies for American. I bump into him occasionally at the airport. and he also flies out of L.A. I'm technically based in Long Beach, but we co-base. So I try to fly LAX trips. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm deadheading to Salt Lake City to pick up a flight.
But the
difference between deadhead you actually get paid to do.
Yeah, I was wondering.
a deadhead is a technical term where you usually get compensation. The company puts you on a deadhead to move you to some other place.
Oh.
And a deadhead or a jump seat is basically thumb on a ride.
Oh, okay. But when you're jump seating, either way, are you on the clock or no?
No.
No,
no, it's on your own time. It's like you driving to the radio station, essentially. You're commuting. We okay. call that commuting.
So. All right. Jeff Lattice. always a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you very much.
You bet, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks
a
lot.
Appreciate it.
Jeff
Bye-bye.
Lattice, a captain for JetBlue, who is technically based out of Long Beach, California, but resides in Oro Valley. And Jeff is also a highly decorated Air Force fighter pilot. All right, coming up next, Shelley Fishman. But before we go to Shelley, I want to talk a little bit about green things. Do you believe it? Some of the pictures they've been posting on Facebook of wave after wave of poinsettias. They've got greenhouses full of them. That means the holidays are here. Check it out. They're located at, of course, on River Road, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. And on the web at greenthingsaz.com. It is the holiday season. Make sure all of your poinsettias, and they've got every imaginable color for your Thanksgiving table and to decorate the house over at Green Things. Shelley Fishman's next. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Wednesday. Now that voters have turned thumbs down on a bond measure for Tucson Unified, where does the district go from here? We'll talk with Dr. Mark Stegman of the TUSD Governing Board. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, the podcast, the show archive, all available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we're going to consult right now with our financial advisor on the Buckmaster Show, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you, sir?
I am well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Hard to believe when you've got temperatures pushing 90 degrees this week. Thanksgiving is a week from Thursday.
It's the middle of November.
September. And that means that 6 or 7 weeks away from a new year, and hey, what does a new year mean? One thing it means is get your taxes ready.
Absolutely. If you're an investor and you have one or several accounts, any number of year-end considerations will drive what you do with your advisor between now and the end of the year. And advisors get very, very busy. And of course, the holidays always interfere and lots of people take extra time off. So it's not too early to, take the pumpkin and put it in the garbage pail and think about cooking a turkey, but also think about what are the things you need to do toward the end of the year to ensure that, number one, you've optimized your taxes and the tax implications of any trades that you may have made during the year, that your allocations in your accounts haven't moved because of different performance during the year. So if you've got stocks and bonds and maybe different segments of the economy, some have done very, very well during the year and some have not. So that might take some readjustments. In addition, if you're over the age of 70 and a half, you might have to take a required minimum distribution from your IRA accounts. And that's something that you really can't ignore because there are severe penalties for not taking the required minimum from your IRAs.
I have a question about that 70 and a half requirement. How does that work during the tax year? Or enlighten me.
This is kind of a silly rule, but
all right.
During the year you become 70 and a half, you begin to have a formula applied to the total amount of your IRA deposits on December 31st of the prior year. And that's the amount that would then be calculated each year based on the December 31st balances. However, during the first year, that 70 and a half year, you have the option of delaying that withdrawal until you file your taxes for that year. So in the year you turn 70 and a half, you are allowed to wait until you file your following year's taxes, or you were the current year taxes in the following year, and that would normally be the middle of April, but some people extend. Now, that you'd say, well, that's pretty good, isn't it? And, well, it might be. The problem is then in that next year, you have to do two required minimum distributions. So you're really not putting
one off.
You're
not gaining that much. You're not getting that much of a cushion, are you?
Right. So if you and your tax advisor determine that you'd be better off paying that or taking that withdrawal and therefore paying the taxes on that withdrawal in the following year, you would do it. But otherwise, for most of my clients in that year, that's the time to do it. And, you know, very often clients will say, well, what should I do with the money? And, you know, one thing is go out to a really good restaurant with a lot of people. Another thing you can do with the money is simply roll it over into your non-retirement accounts, your individual or non-qualified accounts. And very often, you don't have to sell anything. You can simply take the equivalent value out of the retirement account, out of the IRA, and move it over so that if you have investments that you like and want to keep, you simply move them from an IRA to a non-IRA. And that's a perfectly legal way to do it.
So this is the time of year you mentioned rebalancing, kind of reviewing the annual performance and really adjust your strategy.
Yeah. One of the things that psychologically has been studied, certainly in the past couple of years, is that people have a bias toward decisions that they've made and stuck with over a period of time. And so they see and want to see the good or the best in the decisions that they've made and don't like to look at the decisions that they've made that maybe haven't worked out so well.
Kind of reinforce the decision and think it was a good one.
Right. And so
human nature, I guess.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And so it's really the responsibility of the advisor in working with the client to take a cold, hard look at how a particular stock or a particular area of the economy has done vis-a-vis the rest of the portfolio and say, well, maybe it's time to adjust that decision. Oh, but I love that stock. I work for that company.
Stock
even so.
Yeah.
The other thing that very often people don't consider is if they work for a large company that has stock and they've been paid either retirement bennies or other bennies in that company's stock, when they have the right to sell that stock, it's always a good idea to incorporate that stock with their overall investment allocation, just to avoid the bias that comes along with knowing that, you know, the ins and outs of a company. I can relate a personal story when I was working in the internet industry. And it was 1999, 2000, 2001. I had a bunch of high-tech stocks, which I simply had to have because that was the industry I was working in. And I totally ignored the fact that they were all going to heck in a handbasket in 2003. And I looked at my account one day and I said, what in the world happened?
Just kind of a loyalty thing.
Just a loyalty thing. And that is the worst thing you can do is be emotionally connected to any investment.
These stocks turned out to be dogs. And
well, yeah, they were high flyers, and all of a sudden they didn't exist anymore.
And this, we've talked kind of the whole reallocation, I guess, rebalancing. You know, I've often referred to Shelley as kind of like a financial winemaker. He puts together kind of the balance that that feels right, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And again, it is all individual based on your individual circumstance and what kind of, well, age is a huge factor.
Exactly. There's no formula that fits everybody. In fact, there's no formula that even comes close. More and more with some of my high wealth net worth clients, I move the allocation responsibility to other money managers who are some of the biggest money managers in the country and in some cases the world, simply because as an independent advisor, while I can track certain industries and track certain equities or especially ETFs, indices that are interesting to me, I can't track thousands. But there are organizations that do and can track thousands. And so for people who are willing to be on an annual fee basis and are willing to, you know, shoulder the somewhat higher costs of doing that. We have some of the top money managers in the world managing some of my accounts, and it's my job to manage the relationship. And their job is to make sure things stay in balance and that this kind of triumvirate, the client, the money manager, and the advisor are always in sync. And the end of the year is a very good time to check that and make sure that's working.
It's a great time if you perhaps are not happy with your financial advisor and you're thinking of a change. You're always willing to talk.
Always willing to talk. It's tough to get an advisor's attention at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody is kind of, you know, hustling around trying to get the things done.
Your busy season, really.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're unhappy, January is a great time.
All right, Shelley, thank you very much. Shelley Fishman.
Have a great week, Bill.
Thanks a lot. And we can look for Shelley's link at buckmastershow.com right there on our website. We have all of our fine supporters listed there with a link to what they do, and Shelley will be more than happy to talk to you at your convenience. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. Silver City and Grant County would make a great getaway. Yes, it's the middle of the week here, but so what? Why not, if you've got the time, take the 3-hour drive and enjoy yourself in really an entirely different environment, lovely environment, about a mile high elevation. That means 3,000 to 6,000 feet. Really cool nights, very warm, pleasant days. Check out the complete list of great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities on their website. Fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. It's time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show. We call it Your Meds because it really is about you taking control of your health care. Our segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine dean, founder, and now president emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest invention, Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited by thousands of people from all over the world. In fact, 180 countries check it out on a daily basis. Visit crediblemeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
We've talked a bit about the opioid crisis. We can't seem to talk enough about it, in my opinion, because it's like this is such a big deal. It's almost like everybody you know, you're going to find someone you know that is having a problem with this.
I think that's the mistake most of us make, thinking it's happening to somebody else. It's happening all around us. If we look around carefully, we'll find somebody we know who's addicted or becoming addicted.
One out of three people in the United States are prescribed an opioid each year. And you're thinking, well, how could that be? You know, you're not going to have one out of three people having some kind of a medical emergency. Well, this could be just they go to the dentist and have some dental work and they're prescribed this.
Very commonly.
For a routine thing.
Exactly. An oral surgery. Get a tooth pulled or a root canal. You get I recently got a 10-day prescription of Vicodin, which would have been very risky. I could have become an addict, and many people are. So it's not something that's rare in our community.
We have some really important news to tell our listeners about, and I don't think this has gotten as much publicity as it really merits. The Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Woosley, that's the journal that is almost considered like the Bible for your profession, for the medical profession. This was a very important study pertaining to emergency room injuries and the kind of pain relief that was given to some people.
Exactly. You think if you go to the emergency room, it must be pretty serious pain. And what they did in this study was just compare the three big opiates that are out there that people can get to a simple prescription for Tylenol, acetaminophen, plus ibuprofen or Advil. I mean, all these drugs have multiple names, so I always try to mention the major ones. Mm-hmm. So a common aspirin-like product like Motrin or Advil plus Tylenol, like acetaminophen, and it was just as effective as the very potent opiates. And that was shocking even to me, because we've all been told that for serious pain, you really have to use something like a shotgun, a cannon for it, and that the aspirin-like products won't work. Well, they do, just as well as Vicodin, Oxycontin, Percocet, the drugs that we think we have to have when we're in serious pain, but we really don't.
Who has told us these are the drugs that we think we have to have if you're in serious pain?
Well, let me guess. I wonder who's done that, Bill.
Yeah.
I think we know who's done it. It's been the people selling these drugs.
Right.
And these are old drugs that have been repackaged and remarketed And convinced all of us, including myself until recently, that you had to take these very potent narcotics if somebody had serious pain.
So how were they measuring this, Dr. Woosley? They were looking at the emergency room. How did the study come about? Do you have any of the details?
Well, it was blinded. The doctors nor the patients knew what they were getting. But they were administered these pills and then asked on a scale between 0 and 10, how's your pain?
Right.
And on average, it fell from about 9 or 10 to 3 or 4.
Whoa.
So, and it was no different with the very potent narcotics. I want to emphasize that.
Yes.
That these old, very safe drugs that are not addictive were just as effective.
So people that had been given the opioids, the Vicodin, Oxy, they also would be saying, did your pain go, how did you rate your pain? And some of them would say 3 or 4.
Yeah, they were equivalent. So
that is amazing.
It is. These medicines work. But the real message here is you can get pain relief without risking addiction. And I think that's what's happened. You know, over 2 million Americans say they're now addicted to opiates. 92 million, 38% of us in the nation got an opiate prescription. So the marketing has been really aggressive. And we're getting these prescriptions when we often don't need them. Or we could be treated with something that's not addictive.
How about the folks that die from these overdoses?
Oh, that's the number we always hear about.
But,
and it's growing. 33,000 people last year. And it's estimated that over the next decade, 500,000 Americans will die if we don't do something about this.
It's probably not that hard to overdose on something like that either.
No, what happens is you get started on a prescription.
Right.
Almost 80% of addicts today were started with a doctor's prescription. And when that prescription starts costing too much, they find something cheaper. And you know what the cheapest opiate out there today is? Heroin.
Whoa.
And that is where you start injecting it, and that's the 500,000 people a year are addicted to heroin right now.
What should we do? What are some of the things to protect ourselves?
Well, I think we have to really stand up to the marketing. We have to, when we go to our doctor and we get a prescription, we have to ask, is this an opiate? Is it addictive? And doctors have been told that it's not addictive. So don't assume that they're going to give you the right answer. Ask if it's an opiate. Ask your pharmacist if this is an opiate. And if it's an opiate and you think you're able to be controlled with something else, refuse that prescription. You don't have to take it, and ask for something else. Remember, you know, oral surgeons and dentists are also prescribing these drugs, not just your doctor. And there's the governor of Arizona has a task force that's been working on opiate addiction, and they've been coming out with reports that identify other things that you can do. Very few people today getting opiates really need them. So you can be treated with acupuncture,
which I've done, by the way, fairly recently for some treatment on my fingers for arthritis. And believe it or not, Dr. Woosley, after 10 treatments, you have to be patient. It's not an overnight deal, but it's made a difference.
Absolutely. Acupuncture works.
It is not a quick fix.
No.
But it does work. Yeah.
And the other thing is, for that kind of thing, I found topical creams.
Yes.
Will be very effective. A medicine called Voltaren is the one I usually use.
Yeah.
And it's very effective for chronic pain. Massage therapy works.
Yes. Does.
Relaxation therapy, hypnosis, biofeedback, physical therapy. These are options that are out there that are not addictive and often save you a lot of money and discomfort.
So you said something that caught my ear here, that doctors, some of them believe that these are not addicting. Were they taught that?
They were
some
taught
of these
that.
Things.
There was a
some of
actually,
these like Oxy and stuff. They're not addicting.
Well, the drug companies have sent their sales force around with a flyer that says, "Here is a study that showed these drugs are not addictive." Well, it turns out it was not a study. It was a letter to the editor by one doctor talking about their experience, which has been refuted now. And that
way, but the salespeople latched onto that particular letter.
That letter was promoted.
And became a sales piece.
Exactly. Yeah. And the studies have shown that we can all be addicted. It just is a matter of our individual response. Some people get addicted to the first dose that they're given. Most people take 2-3 weeks of opiate therapy before they start getting withdrawal symptoms.
But some, one tablet and that's it.
For some people.
Oh, boy. All right, Dr. Woosley, we can visit CredibleMeds.org to find out what is a safe drug and what might cause problems.
Exactly. We maintain that list, and if you're worried about your medicine, you want to check it on our website, please do. It's free. We have an iPhone app you can put on your phone to check your medicines. Many patients, about 5,000 patients with heart disease, carry this regularly. We have 29,000 of our smartphone app in use today, 103,000 registered people on our website who download our data every time before they go to their doctor.
Dr. Woosley, thank you so much. We'll see you in December. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. We'll have our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This week's Buckmaster Show Arts Report, presented by Fox Tucson Theater. This Saturday, November the 18th, the Fox welcomes author and quick-thinking humorist Paula Poundstone. Then next week, November 21st, enjoy Argentina's great cultural export, Tango Buenos Aires, Spirit of Argentina, performed by an expert company of musicians, vocalists, and dancers. So for more information and to purchase tickets to see Paula Poundstone on November 18th and Tango Buenos Aires, Spirit of Argentina, November 21st, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer. In fact, she started writing for the Weekly in 1990, Margaret Regan, author of two prize-winning books on immigration. The most recent is a book that's been getting very, very good reviews, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigration Families Under Fire. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. I just got back from Pennsylvania, where I was giving talks about Detained and Deported.
Well, the article that you will be crafting that will be in the upcoming issue on November 16th of the Tucson Weekly, then, is right up your alley, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the big themes that I write about in my career have been immigration and art. And when those things merge, that's, you know, the best of both worlds for me. This week I wrote about three major exhibitions at MoCA Tucson. That's the Museum of Contemporary Art downtown in the old firehouse. And they have three very big and very interesting and important shows all about the border. I called my story Tragic Landscapes because a lot of the art is about the travails of migrants crossing the desert. One artist, Paul Touronet, he's a very acclaimed photographer of the border. He's been doing these images of migrants for years and setting the photos on aluminum so they kind of glow like religious pictures. They're very beautiful. In this case, he has constructed an entire border wall, 64 feet long,
oh my goodness,
12 feet high, all across that great hall. They call it the Great Hall. It used to be the garage for the fire engine.
That's right, where the MoCA is located downtown in a former firehouse on South Church Avenue. Yeah,
right, exactly. And it really lends itself well to these kind of gigantic, kind of awe-inspiring installations. So he's got this gigantic wall cutting the gallery between north and south. And on the north side, he has constructed a border wall which matches the design protocols that President Trump has called for. You may know that in California, they're already building four of them going up, companies that are competing to get the contract to build the new border wall, if it's ever funded. So Touronet, these are, of course, public record. Touronet got a hold of these design protocols, so he built this wall. It looks like what the new wall will look like, which is really high, really forbidding, very authoritarian, signs all over it, danger, do not enter, trespassing. And so the way he's constructed in the hall is that it's sort of like a no man's land, and it's a kind of a horrible sensation, Tournay both says it foretells the future of isolation and detached nationalism. You know, it signifies a country that's just willing to cut itself off from the rest of the world. So that's pretty interesting. But then on the Mexican side of the wall, you have all these signs of life. He's planted cactuses all around. There's dirt on the floor of the museum. And he has a couple of ladders crossing the wall, which, you know, it has famously been said by Janet Napolitano, our former governor and former head of the Department of Homeland Security, you know, show me a 40-foot wall and I will show you a 50-foot ladder. so he's got two ladders, or a tunnel. Or a tunnel, right, yeah. So anyway, and on this side he has hammered these beautiful images of the migrants, you know, shining on their aluminum, they're sepia-colored, and they're just very gorgeous and heartbreaking prints. One of the most heartbreaking to me is a picture of a little girl. These are actual migrants that he photographed on the Mexican side, and she's riding in a truck with a group of other migrants and looking completely confused about what's happening.
So that's kind of one component of this show that's going on.
Yes, I know. I was down there for several hours the other day just collecting information. It fills the entire museum. I mean, Tournay mostly occupies that Great Wall, but then there are other shows. And the new director, whose name is Ginger Shulick Porcella, she's really the brains behind this, and I have to congratulate her. This is her first show as the director of MoCA, and she's taken on what, as we know, is a very controversial subject. And she curated a whole bunch of, she invited something like 14 artists from both sides of the border to make art about it. One guy from Brooklyn built these big sculptures of the ends of the border wall, one in Texas emptying into the Gulf of Mexico, and one in California emptying into the Pacific. These are these kind of massive sculptures with little fences on top, very realistic, and you can see the fence as it does in the Pacific. It goes into the water. You know, the wall is built out into the ocean, which means that some people drown trying to get around it.
So this show is up through the end of the year, so through the holidays.
You know, wherever you stand on immigration, I think it's a useful and important thing to take in to see what is actually happening on the border.
You are very busy, and I've only got about 3 minutes left, but I do want to forward promote. I know you love Irish music like I do.
Yeah.
Coming to the Fox, the Irish Christmas is coming Sunday, November 26th. You're going to write about that in the November 23rd, a little preview in the weekly.
Yeah, it's always a great show. The same group that is coming this year, you know, they're from Ireland, and they do this very touching show, and the lead fiddler, whose name is Oisín somebody, a very Irish name, he's one of those very charming Irishmen with lots of stories and funny talks, and they'll be dancing, and some of our local student dancers here in Tucson will be dancing. It's always a lovely and really nice kind of nostalgic show for the holidays.
And then we're talking next Monday about this increase that the Trump administration is talking about for national parks.
Yeah.
That's going to be our topic, one of the topics on Monday. And then you're also going to be writing November 23rd about two shows, painting shows, about the parks, one at Davis Dominguez Gallery and the other at a gallery on East Grant, Arts Eye Gallery.
Yeah. It's interesting how timely this has turned out to be. Duncan Martin, who's a very interesting landscape painter, he's been showing at Davis Dominguez for years. A couple years ago, he started this project. He's trying to do 58 national parks, a painting from each national park. He had previously done a lot of our own national parks, Saguaro National Park. He's a very good painter, kind of expressionist and wild and loose. And it just turns out to be very timely because, you know, national parks are a national treasure and they're so popular among the American people. It's surprising to me that the administration would is sort of harm the parks and the people who love to go to them by raising the fees so tremendously. And, of course, you know, our national monuments, which are, you know, sort of the stepchild of the national parks, but also very beautiful places, those are threatened also under the administration with, you know, some plans to open some of them to mining and other kinds of commercial activities.
Okay, well, you're very busy and you had a great time back east. The audience is very receptive for your book tour, which this is the book tour that keeps on giving. It never ends.
I know. Well, you know, it's a very timely topic. It is. So I keep getting invitations,
All right, Margaret Regan, we're going to have to run. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Bill.
We'll look for your work. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting popular stand-up comic and regular panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Paula Poundstone, this Saturday, November the 18th. Then we've got next week, November 21st, enjoy Argentina's great cultural export, Tango Buenos Aires, Spirit of Argentina. Then on Sunday, November 26th, take a sneak peek with the into the Irish Christmas, Irish Christmas in America. Go to foxtucson.com for more information about all the great shows for the holidays. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We've got Mike Check with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen this afternoon together, 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. What's next for Tucson Unified? That'll be our topic tomorrow. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Ray Allen. Thanks for joining us. Let's hear now from our fine commercials right after this.